X-Men the audio drama The Dark Phoenix Saga, the finale, The Fate of the Phoenix.
The X-Men appear, standing before the gathered Shi'ar Royal Guard, and, at the head of them, in regal command before her throne, is Lilandra.
X-Men, you stand in presence of Lilandra, Magistrix and Empress of the Shi'ar Empire. Hear her words, for your fate is in her hands.
Lilandra, what is this?
You are friends, X-Men. You saved the universe and gave me my crown. It gives me no joy to say these words, to do what must be done. But the Phoenix must be destroyed.
What?
No, try it!
You are aware of what she has done? The millions of lives she has taken?
That was Phoenix, not Jean Grey. The Phoenix is gone. The Professor locked it away.
And you are sure it will never return?
Nothing is sure with Phoenix, but we have it under control.
I can't take the chance, Charles. As long as Jean Grey lives, the Phoenix is a threat to all life.
She has the right to trial. Good, evil, victim, criminal. The law protects everyone. If your civilization is any different, then you aren't very civil at all.
It's over. She suffered enough.
Suffered, Earthling? Tell that to the spirits of the millions of dead that cry out for vengeance.
I am sorry, Cyclops, but the threat is too great. We will make it quick. Warriors, take her.
Lilandra, wait. Jean Grey Arinhela. For Jean Grey's life, I challenge you to the Jewel of Honor. A trial by combat.
I see you have studied the books I gave you well, Charles. You have that right, but it is not simply my decision. I must confer with the other galactic powers that united to pass Phoenix's sentence. But know that if it is permitted, you will face the entire Imperial Guard. Almost 20 warriors that have the same meta abilities that your X-Men possess, gathered from many worlds with extraordinary beings. Led by Gladiator, you will be outmatched.
Professor...
We will do what we must. We agree to your terms.
The talks with the rulers of the other galactic empires are brief. Knowing the X-Men stand little chance of success, the Kree and Skrull empires agree to the terms of the duel. And soon a battleground is chosen. That of a hidden and long-abandoned Shi'ar outpost on the dark side of Earth's moon. A dome covering many miles of the surface with metallic buildings and constructs, all encased in an artificial oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere, making it more of a hidden city than a base.
The base has been abandoned for almost a century in your years, but our engineers have assured me we can bring the artificial atmosphere and gravimetric systems online for a time.
Lilandra speaks to the gathered X-Men.
May I contact our allies on the surface to see if any of them are available to join us in this fight? Jean has many friends.
The communications and teleportation technology is at your disposal, Charles. The duel will begin at dawn. I suggest you all take advantage of your guest accommodations and rest.
As the hours pass into the vessel's night cycle, Jean Grey waits within her assigned chambers, to live or to die.
Only hours ago. Is that all? As the Phoenix, I held the whole universe in the palm of my hand. For a while, I was almost a god. I was terrible. Yet it was beautiful. I don't want that awesome power. I didn't mean to do what I did, but I did it just the same. Now the time has come to pay the price. Please, Lord, give me strength.
Milady?
Yes?
Jean turns from her position, staring upon the room's large open fire pit, to look at the approaching robotic servant.
The garment you requested, made to your exact specifications.
Yes, thank you. I'll let you know if there are any problems. I'd like to be alone now, please.
Below in the ship's cavernous training area, Nightcrawler leaps between hoops and metal girders.
For all our bravado, I've a nasty feeling this may be the battle where our luck runs out. We have faced Gladiator before, but then he was the only super being in play. Now, our entire opposition are as gifted as we are, maybe more. And they are trained alien military men and women. We are, though mutants, only human. Ugh. And I wish I felt as confident as my friends as to the reason for this duel. There was a time when I would defy the devil himself for Jean Grey. Now, I'm not so sure. As a German, I know all too well the terrors of genocide. If I still cannot forgive the butchers responsible for those atrocities, how can I forgive Jean? I don't know. Perhaps I should shower and get some rest. Clear my mind. Whoa!
Kurt slips on a beam, falling with deadly speed to the steel deck below.
Relax, Crawler. I've got you.
Nightcrawler exhales as Angel catches him out of the sky.
Thank you, but that really wasn't necessary. I could have teleported myself to safety.
No problem. I needed the exercise. I'm a bit out of practice at this X-Men gig. Been a long time since I had to fight for my life, or anyone else's.
You sound sad, mein Freund.
I do? I don't know, Kurt. I don't know. Are we on the right side here? Jean is my best friend, but knowing what she's done...
Yeah, I must admit, I've had similar thoughts.
In his own room, Wolverine showers in contemplative thought.
Nice digs. An okay place to spend the night. But I'd go batty if I was forced to live here. Of course, this time tomorrow, I may not have to worry about living anywhere. I ain't scared of dying. Never have been. It'll happen to me one day, whether I want it to or not. So why waste time worrying about it? Not that much can hurt me, never mind kill me. Nobody understands Jeannie like I do. She's both Jean Grey and Phoenix. Jean ain't a killer. She can't be held responsible for Phoenix's actions. But can the Professor have really split the two entities apart? Suppressing Phoenix and leaving Jean?
Wolverine dries himself and then heads over to sit bare upon the floor in meditation.
But if push comes to shove, if I have to make a choice, then I stand by Jeannie all the way.
Beast, meanwhile, is bathing in the large round saucer tub that came with his room.
Been a while since I lost my temper like that. But I wasn't about to stand down, even if I stand alone. If Jean were Satan incarnate, I'd still grant her the full benefit of the law. After all, we have only Lalandra's word for what happened, and that Phoenix still exists inside Jean. If she wants Jean's life, then she should prove her case in a proper court, beyond any reasonable doubt, and give Jean a chance to defend herself. Forcing her way, might-making right, is the exact dark path her brother went down, one she claims to despise.
Hank makes his way out of the tub, wrapping a towel around his waist and heading for the main room where a stranger waits for him.
Greetings, sir.
Hello.
I am your Masseur. I have been sent to look after your every need.
Oh, my stars and garters.
The next morning, Colossus awakes from a deep sleep.
Is it dawn already? I slept through the whole night? The moment of truth fast approaches. I know the Phoenix is now evil. I have felt her power. Yet I also know Jean Grey. I owe her my life. When we X-Men fought her as this Dark Phoenix, we were not trying to destroy her, but cure her. That has not changed. The Phoenix may be evil. It may need to be destroyed, but not at the cost of Jean. To be punished for being an unwilling host? That I cannot permit.
Storm 2 awakens from a well-deserved night's rest.
On Mother Earth, the dawn is marked by the eternal beauty of a sunrise. Here, by the chime of an alarm. I prefer the sunrise. Oh, for those happy days when I was simply Ororo, Windrider. I was alone then. I was free. Now, I'm neither alone nor free, and rarely happy. Yet I choose to join the X-Men, to leave my African home of my own free will. The X-Men have become my family, and Jean Grey like the beloved sister I never had. This Phoenix is everything I abhor. But Jean, I can no more deny than I can deny myself. I love Jean. As part and parcel of that love, I shall use my elemental powers to defend her, to the death if I have to.
Cyclops, meanwhile, stands on the observation deck, looking out of a spherical window at his home planet far below. He has not slept. He turns, grimacing as he walks away from the window, closing the sunshield shutters behind him in an iris.
Damn it, it isn't fair. After all we've been through, after all the good that Jean's done, to have it end like this. I guess that's what the people in Dabari thought when their sun exploded. I've been a leader a long time. I can see Lilandra's position as clearly as my own. And if our positions were reversed, would I be acting any differently? I hope so. I'd like to think I'd rather choose mercy.
No matter the cost?
Huh?
Scott Summers turns, seeing Jean Grey walk into the room. It takes him a moment to realize how she is dressed.
Telepath, remember? And we have our psychic rapport. I can't shut it off, even when I want to.
You're dressed in your old costume, before Phoenix. Why?
I'm not sure. Nostalgia? Pride? Maybe I just want to end this how I began, as Marvel Girl, and not Phoenix. How I was before all of this madness. Scott, am I worth all of this? I don't know what I'd do if any of you died for me today. It might let Phoenix out again.
Jean.
I may not have been in total control, Scott, but I felt what I did. It felt so good when I destroyed that star. I don't want to ever feel like that again. And yet I do.
If you give in to that feeling, then the Phoenix has already won. You'd be evil, and you're not. Jean, whatever happens, know that I love you and to hell with it.
Scott drops to one knee, holding up his hand and placing it over her palm. Jean gasps, placing her other gloved hand over her mouth.
Scott,
I don't have a ring, but marry me, Jean.
What if you die today?
Just say yes. Then no matter what happens, at least I'll know.
Yes. Yes, if we get out of this, yes, of course I will.
And it'll be a normal life. We've had enough superheroing to last for a lifetime.
Sounds great. Oh, Scott.
Scott rises, the two embracing in a deep, passionate kiss. Behind them, the doors open, and three familiar faces emerge.
Well, that was beautiful.
I'll say.
Hank? Warren? Bobby? Guys? You watched all that?
Yeah. There's a security screen in the next room. Sorry about that.
It's fine, Bobby. When did you get here?
Soon as I saw the 17 missed calls I had from the professor. Sorry, was off on the grid on business for a while, but when I heard, I couldn't get here fast enough.
You know what I did, right?
Not you. She's gone. No one dies today. Especially not an ex-woman.
Hear, hear. I won't lie. I had my doubts, but you were the closest thing to a sister I've ever had. I'm not going to let them take you.
Then we stand, all of us, the old team and the new, as a family, no matter what. This is what matters, right here.
Warren nods and extends his arms. The five young men and Jean now stood in a group hug, a circle of love, each of them holding the people next to them tight.
We end this as it began, together, as X-Men.
All X-Men, to the teleporter. It is time.
The far right door of the Shi'ar command ship's transportation deck parts. From it emerges the last of the Shi'ar Imperial Guard. Across from them stand almost the entire team of X-Men, old and new. The original five of Angel, Beast, Iceman, Cyclops, and Jean Grey. And the newcomers, Nightcrawler, Storm, Colossus, and Wolverine.
Last chance, guys. Anyone who doesn't want to fight in this.
We talked about it earlier, Scott. We are with you. We will all fight for Jean. Until the end.
Thanks, Warren.
Thanks to all of you.
The X-Men and the Imperial Guard will battle until one team or the other is defeated. If the X-Men win, those who survive will be set free. If my Imperials win, Phoenix, Jean Grey, is ours to do with as we will. Will you abide by these terms, Cyclops?
We will. You have our word.
Beam them down to the agreed starting zones, technician.
Behind Lilandra, her top advisor approaches, an older man with grey feathered hair.
The X-Men face hopeless odds, Majestrix. But they are exceptional beings. Suppose they win.
They will not win, Araki. You have my word on that.
The X-Men arrive in light at the center of the ancient metal city that lies beneath the dome structure, keeping out the cold vacuum of space.
Wow! They hid this from the world all this time?
Their stealth technology is far beyond anything we can imagine, Nightcrawler. The fact they got this place to support life again in mere hours is a testament to that.
I've psi-scanned the area, Scott. I'm not picking up anyone else. We're alone here.
That won't last long. On your toes, people. I've briefed you on Gladiator, but the rest of those strange beings, we have no idea what they can do. Be ready for anything.
Hang on. I'm picking up multiple minds. They are arriving.
There, Genie!
Wolverine points to the far distance where the glow of a teleporter fades.
I'll go take a look-see, Psyche. Maybe get some first licks in before they get their bearings.
Angel, no. Scout, but do not engage. Storm, go with him.
The air here is artificial, unmoving, and with little moisture in the air, it is not Mother Earth. My powers are limited here.
All right. Nightcrawler, Iceman, Jean, and I will follow close behind you in case you run into enemies.
And the rest of us? Do we make a stand here?
No. Split up and go the other direction. I doubt we can win with straight force. Catching them off guard with hit and run might be our best bet.
Oh, goody. I just love playing hide and seek.
The X-Men split up into their assigned groups, the first team heading towards a complex plaza of metal beams and machinery.
I can't see anyone this way so far. Jean?
Wait, I'm not picking up anyone. It feels like a telepath is blocking me.
Oh, good. They have one of those. Yuppie.
I could push back, but if I do so too hard, they might be able to backtrack me.
Yeah, keep trying, Jean. But not too hard. This plaza is wide open. A perfect place for an ambush. Nightcrawler, take point with Angel.
As you command, fearless leader.
But before the German-born mutant can even take a step...
Watch out!
Scott!
The X-Men look ahead as a being that seems to be set on fire streaks towards them, followed by several others in strange garb.
You cannot hide from us, X-Men. You cannot escape. And no matter how hard you try, you will not win.
Yeah? Bobby, cool him off.
With pleasure.
Iceman moves forward and blasts at the flaming man with his ice, then leaps off, creating an ice slide and heading to engage him.
I'll take the albino lady.
Angel now flies directly for another flying being, a woman with white skin and purple attire.
Hey there. Care to dance, hottie?
The name's Oracle, you human filth!
Ah! What? My head! You're the telepath!
Good deduction, genius.
Below Jean, Crawler and Cyclops engage the others. Meanwhile, in cavernous tunnels below the main complex, the other group move as quietly as possible.
You hear that? Sykes firing his optic blasts. Sounds like the fight started without us.
Should we not go to their aid, my friends?
Only if we find no one, Colossus. I'm sure we'll find enough trouble of our own before we... And there we go.
The group of X-Men's jaws drop as a giant robot tank-like form stomps towards them.
We have met the enemy, X-Men, and it is big. Colossus, Wolverine, if you would be so kind.
On it.
Organic beings, we are War Star. We offer you a choice. Honorable surrender or honorable death.
Nothing honorable about giving up, Tin Can. As for death, bring it on.
Take him down, Colossus!
It will be my pleasure, Tovarist!
Peter swings a mighty steel fist into the giant robot's gut.
If that's the way you want it, Terrans, I got this one, Sissel. You take Colossus.
What in the world? There are two of them!
Hank calls out as a human-sized robot leaps from inside a perch in the larger machine's back, down onto him.
I got him, Storm! You-
Sorry, Wolverine, but I cannot allow that.
Storm and Wolverine turn just in time to see Gladiator tear up the metal floor beneath them, sending them falling down a deep chasm below. Storm acts fast, grabbing on to whatever wind she can and flies, grabbing Wolverine's leg to stop his fall, too.
Caught you. This is becoming a habit, Wolverine.
I might have survived, but it would have hurt. Thanks, Roro. Though it looks like we fell pretty far.
Storm now lets them both down safely to the ground below. The sub-chamber looks to be still part of the complex, although with more natural rock on show.
Aha! The plan worked. Good. You are mine now, mammals.
The two now see a strange alien creature that looks to be encased in a purple exoskeleton heading towards them.
Who are you? E.T.?
The name is Earthquake. Let me show you why.
The ground beneath them rumbles, the natural stone giving way and rising up at once as weapons against them.
Ah! The ground!
Holy! Ah!
Wolverine!
She steadies herself on the wind, heading to catch him. But before she can reach him, Logan grabs a hold of another metallic structure below. No doubt part of the foundations of the place. Wolverine holds on for dear life.
I'm all right, Storm! Get the bastard!
She nods, flying upwards to the edge of the broken path they were on, and to Earthquake.
You may control the earth beneath our feet, Earthquake. But I control the wind, rain, elements that grind Earth down into powder.
The elements rise up around Storm, forming into a vortex of the ground and air around her.
So much for not being able to use this air.
But while all her attention is on him, behind her, a red female being approaches, lashing her neuro whip at Storm, wrapping it around her neck.
Many thanks, Hussar. I can handle things from this point.
Earthquake reaches out, driving many shattered stones and rocks into Ororo.
No!
One collides with her head, knocking her out cold. Hussar approaches Storm's unmoving body, grabbing her hair and pulling her head up to check she is truly out.
This one will give us no more trouble. First blood to the Imperial Guard. Good omen.
Storm!
Earthquake then activates his abilities again, shaking Logan from his perch. sending the Canadian mutant falling into the bottomless chasm. Above ground, the battle continues, the X-Men giving their all as they blast and strike at the aliens. Iceman's ice slide being melted by Starbolt, but Bobby responds in kind, cooling the molten mutant down.
Yeah! Take that, Fire Boy! Woo!
We're holding our own, but that's about it. Our powers and tactical skills are pretty evenly matched, except that all of our foes can fly. Cyclops and Jean can strike at long range, and Angel can fight them in the air. Iceman too, to a point. But I'm just a glorified acrobat. All the maneuvers I've learned to counter an airborne attack were worked out with Storm. Angel knows none of them, and there's no time to teach him. If only we had known who we were facing last night. What? Whoa! Angel, look out! Oracle's coming behind you!
It is too late. While Angel has turned his attention to a flying, human-looking man they now know to be called Smasher, Oracle surprises him with a Psi Blast, far more powerful than the first. And while Angel is stunned, helpless, Smasher flies in and finishes him off, grabbing Angel and throwing him down a large pit.
No!
Kurt leaps down the giant hole after him, porting himself twice to catch up with Angel. Those above lose sight and sound of both of them. Kurt is able to catch Angel just in time and port to the surface of the underground tunnels.
Oh, thanks, Nightcrawler. Guess you caught me this time.
Call me Kurt, Warren.
Not on the battlefield. Hey, watch out!
They both look up just in time to see one of the aliens approaching. They fought her on the surface and recall her name being Manta. Her costume, white and black, covering her head but not her face. Her cape rounded with a yellow inlining, the profile of which is indeed that of a manta ray. Kurt grabs Angel and ports into the shadows to hide.
I'm afraid the shadows won't help you, X-Men.
She turns and blasts right at them.
My powers allowed me to see in infrared.
The two X-Men fall and lie still on the ground.
Two more down, Gladiator.
Elsewhere, Gladiator intercepts her communication as he and the two beings comprising Warstar wage war with Beast and Colossus.
Understood. Well done. Warstar is not doing well, either of them. I'm moving to engage.
Colossus grins as he slams the larger Warstar robot into a wall, the robot laying still.
My foe is down. Beast, hang on! I will assist you.
Too late.
Beast cries out as the smaller robot grabs him by the neck and electrifies his outer shell, sending a heavy jolt of electric volts through his fuzzy blue form. Hank cries out as his blue fur stands on end and then falls to the ground. Out.
Such an attack will not work on me, creature.
Sorry, but you'll have to get through me first, Colossus.
Gladiator flies in, striking Peter across the jaw with a mighty punch.
In fact, to get any of my team, you will have to get through me. And quite frankly, I don't think that's possible.
Gladiator now heaves Peter's steel form over his head and throws him, sending Colossus flying and smashing down into a metal pillar across the room. Peter stands, then grabs the metal pillar, pulling it out and over his head.
Perhaps, Gladiator, but if I have learned anything in my time with the X-Men, it is that anything is possible. We will prevail!
Peter then heaves the pillar down onto Gladiator's head. The alien stands unmoved. They stand toe to toe, neither of them yielding an inch as they trade punch after punch of awesome power. Their fight is brutal, a clash of modern titans. But pulling that supporting beam out was a bad idea. The roof above them, the walls around them, cave in. The powerful blows from each of them sending out shockwaves that speed the collapse. Two men of steel, one an irresistible force, the other an immovable object, battling without letting up, giving everything they have. In the end, though, it is not they who decide the issue. Rather, it is the ancient, fragile structures around them. At first, nothing stirs. Then, amid the mountains of rubble, a boulder moves. And slowly, painfully, relentlessly, Gladiator emerges. He pulls the unmoving Peter behind him, now in human form. And on Lilandra's flagship, the Shi'ar and Charles Xavier observe all on screens before them.
No! No, 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 no! Oh, my X-Men. I thought, I felt that you had a chance. I never dreamed things would end like this. Forgive me, my children. I know I will never forgive myself.
Across the room, Lilandra watches Xavier's despair.
I warned you, Charles. As each X-Man falls, another piece is cut from your heart as one is cut from mine. I want to comfort you, be with you in your hour of need, but I cannot. I am Empress. I must do my duty, no matter what it costs.
Below, Cyclops and Jean watch Bobby fall to a combined attack, running into an open underground road passage to hide from their assailants.
Scott, I've lost telepathic contact with all the other X-Men. I think we're the only ones left.
So much for my brilliant strategy. My blasts are making them keep their distance. They're not really attacking us anymore, just marking our position until reinforcements arrive. We have to lose them, Jean.
Quick, in here! This alcove should hide us.
They both run towards a darkened metal alcove.
How? It's too shallow to do us any good. We'll be spotted as soon as they fly in.
Not after I make us a barrier with my mind.
Jean Grey reaches out, bringing up a large chunk of metal and crashing it down over the alcove they are in to cover them up. Moments later, the two Imperials fly in. Smasher and Starbolt, barely noticing the new wall, flying right past it.
Oh, they've passed us. Oh, we have time for a breather, Scott, but sooner or later we'll have to come out.
I know. Jean, there's so much I want to say. I don't have the words.
You don't need words with me, Scott. It's a thought that counts. And yours are beautiful.
She reaches out, grabbing his hand. The two of them holding each other's hands tight.
No more than you. Ready?
Ready.
All right, let's go.
Scott and Jean run headfirst back into battle. As they make their last stand, they find themselves remembering the day they first met. So long ago. So far away. They remember all that's happened since. The good times and the bad. And dream of what might have been.
All forces, attack!
Once upon a time, there was a woman named Jean Grey, a man named Scott Summers. They were young. They were in love. They were heroes. And today, they will prove it, beyond all shadow of a doubt. On the flagship, all instruments begin to come alive.
Majestrix, something is happening. Our instruments are registering off their scales.
No! Shara and Kithri, no!
The energy flare lights up half of the lunar hemisphere. A plasma bolt of monstrous proportions punches through the starship's defensive force fields like they don't exist, announcing to all that the Phoenix is reborn. aboard the Great Dreadnought there is instant, total chaos as the fires consume the ship, their panels exploding.
Artificial gravity is offline! Everybody grab onto something! Damage report. I want to know how badly we were hit.
Captain, alert the ground fleet. Plan Omega. If we fail on our mission, then they are to burn this world, this entire system, this entire stellar cluster. Do whatever is necessary to ensure that the Phoenix is destroyed.
Lilandra is right. Things have gone too far. I have done all I could. Too little, far too late. For Jean. Now, I must act to save the human race. Hear me, my X-Men. Hear me!
It happened so fast. No time to stop herself. No time even for thought. She saw Cyclops cut down, and the cry of shock and grief, and terror that welled within her, shattered the psychic restraints that Professor Xavier had placed in her mind. She blasted all of the Shi'ar back and down with one mighty blast. She is the Phoenix again.
Oh, Jean. No.
Cyclops, attack the Phoenix now, while it is still comparatively weak.
Professor, there has to be some other way, please.
If there was, lad, don't you think I'd be using it?
Forgive me, my love.
Cyclops opens his ruby quartz visor wide, scything his optic blasts at full power across the base of a nearby building. A million tons of masonry and steel topple towards Phoenix. She manages to save herself with a telekinetic shield. But the impact still hammers her to her knees. Her power is awesome, but for the present, it has limits. And she has reached them. Behind Cyclops, Storm now groggily wakes up.
Cyclops, Professor's voice, inside my mind, forcing me awake. Goddess, no!
Jean's become Phoenix again. It's up to us to stop her.
Is such a thing possible?
I don't know, Aurora, but we have to try. We have to keep her off balance, make her use up her power, burn herself out.
I am weak, but I will do what I can.
Storm concentrates, and the air stirs within the dome, swirling faster and faster until literally in the blink of an eye, a tornado appears around Phoenix, battering her mercilessly. Across the ruins, Colossus, Nightcrawler, and miraculously Wolverine approach.
Wolverine? I heard that you...
Morons caught me. Knocked me out cold until I got woke up by the same voice y'all did. What's... Oh no.
Aurora can't keep that up. Even from here, I can see how badly she's hurt.
Then we better act fast. Petey, fastball, now!
Are you sure, my friend?
Yeah. Except the two of us are gonna throw you. I love her, Petey. That love might make me hesitate like I did before. And all this happened because of it. I can't risk it again. Ready?
You asked me to kill Wolverine. Something I have done once. And has haunted me forever since. Worse, you asked me to kill a friend. Hey.
Need a hand?
Warren flies in, and the three of them now use their combined strength to heave Colossus over Wolverine's head and throw him towards Phoenix. The lower gravity of the dome helps him fly like Gladiator towards his target, transforming into steel along the way.
I cannot do it.
Colossus does indeed drive a blow into Jean's jaw, knocking her down. But she still moves.
Wow. You pulled your punch, Peter. And even so, I'm surprised my head is still on my body. But you did enough to knock some sense into me. Now I know what has to be done. Two beings. Jean Grey and Phoenix. Separate. Unique. Bound together. A symbiote, Peter. Neither can exist without the other. Phoenix provides my life force, whilst I provide a living focus for its infinite power. So long as I live, the Phoenix will manifest itself through me. And so long as that happens, I'll eventually, inevitably become the Dark Phoenix.
Jean,
The Phoenix is a cosmic power. It cannot be contained, not controlled, especially by a human vessel. Return it to the cosmos, which is its home. Kill me!
No!
Scott now runs up to them.
It doesn't have to be like this. You have your mind, Jean. A will, a soul. Use them. Fight this dark side of yourself. We'll help you.
No. Power. Changing me. It's too soon.
Jean flies into a dark metal alleyway. Cyclops runs after her.
Jean, wait! You're not giving us any choice.
The choice was never yours to begin with.
She reaches out, binding Scott in a telekinetic shield to keep him still. Keep him away from her. Her Phoenix costume is now red once more.
You see, Scott? Jean, to Phoenix! To Dark Phoenix! A progression is inevitable as death. You, of all people, should know how I feel. You are in my mind, always with our psionic bond.
But...
I'm scared, Scott. I'm hanging on by my fingernails. I can feel the Phoenix within me, taking over. Part of me welcomes it.
Fight it.
I am. But I can't forget what I did. An entire solar system. Millions of people are dead. I did it as casually, as unthinkingly as you would crumple a piece of paper. I want no more deaths on my conscience. Your way, I'd have to stay completely in control of myself every second of every day for the rest of my immortal life.
In the distance, the long-abandoned base's laser cannons rise and come to life once again, pointing at Jean's command. At herself.
Maybe I could. But if I slipped, even for an instant, if I failed, if even one more person died at my hands, it's better this way. Quick. Clean. Final. I love you, Scott.
Jean, no! Don't!
Part of me will always be with you.
Don't! No!
Don't! Yeah!
No. Jean.
She knew where to find the weapons, picking their locations from the Imperials' mines. She knew that if she failed, that this would be her last stand, her final resting place. Scott Summers is left alone, weeping as the other X-Men gather around him. All that is left of Jean Grey is a cooling scorch mark on the metal ground.
Jean.
A week passes. The following Monday, the funeral service is held. All attend from all sides of globe and beyond. With no body to bury, there is only a headstone marked with the dates and placed on the Xavier Institute grounds. Around it, at the head of the procession, are the five original X-Men, the second team, and Xavier. Also attending are Banshee and Moira MacTaggert, back from Muir Island, Lilandra dressed in a human disguise, and Alex Summers and Lorna Dane, having just returned from their travels in Europe, to learn the terrible news. And of course, the Grey family are at the head of the stone as the priest reads hollow words that do not ease their pain. Many tears are shed on this terrible morning. When it is over, the crowd disperse. The Greys do not stay for the wake, leaving at once to hold their own with family.
They aren't staying?
They came only for Jean. I had to talk them into the headstone being here. They blame us for what happened.
They should.
Scott.
I'm leaving, Professor.
I understand. I wish you well, my boy. Will you keep in touch?
I'll try. I just can't stay here. This place is haunted for me now. I see her everywhere I look. And I need to know what it's like to live a normal life.
Be well, Scott.
We will miss you.
Indeed. It will not be the same. Who will lead us?
I think we both know the answer to that, Storm. You are wise beyond your years, my friend. You are the best leader this team could hope for.
Oh, Scott.
Summers.
Wolverine extends his hand. Scott takes it.
Logan.
Good luck.
The goodbyes are brief. Scott's car leaving within the hour. A giant hole left in the X-Men where he once was. By the next day, the rest of the old team members and friends leave too. All but one.
Professor, I want to stay. You are three X-Men down now, and I have a feeling there will be fallout from all of this. You'll need me.
Welcome back, Warren. Your old room is exactly as you left it.
Thanks.
But after all the cars have left, there is one that arrives. This one carrying a new student. This day marks the end for some, but the beginning for another.
Ah, hello there, young one. Welcome to Xavier's School, Kitty Pryde. And welcome to the X-Men.
X-Men the audio drama, The Dark Phoenix Saga, the finale, The Fate of the Phoenix. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Starring Natalie Winter as Jean Grey and Dark Phoenix, Omri Rose as Cyclops, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Joey Sawless as Beast and Colossus, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Keith Seymour as Angel, Emma Gibson as Lalandra, Alex Justice as Iceman, David Jeffries as Gladiator, Catherine Black as Manta and Oracle, Rex Anderson as Starbolt and Warstar, Steve Porter as Araki, Calderton as the Starship Crew, Text-to-Speak as the Robot and Masur. Original music composed by Declan Gilgallon. Sound effects sourced from freesound.org and pon5.com. Written by Chris Claremont and John Byrne. Adapted and edited by Carl Dutton. X-Men is the copyright of Marvel Entertainment and Disney. This is a fan, no profit production, no infringement.